card says, just think you're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. He made you the unique person you are and compares you to no one else. You lack nothing that His grace can't give you. I agree with that. He's allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill His special purpose for this generation. I believe that too. And it's signed from all you folk here at Bethel, thanking God for you and the many ways He is making a difference through you, asking Him to bless you just as you have blessed so many others in your ministry. I'm not unlike anybody else, and I appreciate this. I sat out in desperation one day, being faced to grow up as a man, being faced with my own misgivings, my own wrongdoings, asking God, no, begging God, to bring me through what He was dealing with me about, and then asking Him to let me help others. And I've never forgot that day. I remember a man came to my house one time. Lisa and I hadn't been married too awfully long. We had been married for 2 children. And we were going through a hard time financially, and work was slow and money was tight. And the man, he's now gone on to be with the Lord, but he came over to our house and he handed me a check. And I looked at it and I started bawling like a baby in my living room. And he looked at me and he said, I'll never forget it. He said, Mike, I know you. He said, I know that you'll do this for somebody else one of these days. I never forgot that. And that's how we're supposed to do. We're here to help one another. Amen? We're here to help one another see each other get to heaven, is what we're here for. And it's what I'm here for today. Where did I say turn? So you were listening. Hold your place there. Turn to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Before I read the scripture, I'm going to do this a little different. We're going to pray first. We'll pray that God will open up His word to our hearts and our minds this morning, and that God will help me preach. I have nothing, I promise you, I have nothing to give you today. So we're going to call upon the Lord to come and give us bread for our journey, because we need it. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I'm asking for your help to preach. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good things that you've done. The good things you've done with my wife and I. That through everything that she and I have endured, we've endured them together. And I pray, dear God, that you would help her as she goes through a hard time of life. Father, I thank you for the grace that I see in her life, the blessing that she has been to me, helping me through some pretty dark days. Not just this year, but all the years that we've been together. You used her, Father, to keep me where I need to be. And I thank you, dear God, for blessing us in this church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, my heart's desire is to serve you in no other place than right here. Father, these are people that I love. These are people that I care about. These are people that I understand, people that I know. These are people that know me. And they've chosen to come here anyway. And Father, we pray, dear God, that you would just open up your word to us this morning. And God, that you would visit with each and every one of us. Help our minds, Father, to not be focused on anybody except our own. And Father, that we lay not the words of God toward anyone else except ourselves first and foremost. Father, that as I preach this, God, you preach and deal with me. For I probably need it the most. And that, Father, through dealing with me, and once you have dealt with me, then you deal with others as you see fit. Help me, Father, to not be anyone's judge except my own. And I pray, dear God, that you would help each one of us to do likewise. So fill us with your knowledge and the profound wisdom that is contained in this word and through your Spirit. And we thank you for Jesus who binds us together in love. We ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to carry the words of this message far beyond the walls of this place as you speak to people all over this country, yea, all over the world. We know they're watching. We ask you, Heavenly Father, God, that you deal with us first here at Bethel and then deal with those, Lord, who are watching online. Because it wouldn't be right to do it any other way. So, Father, open up our eyes and our hearts to your word. Father, help us, dear God, to be purged and washed clean of our iniquities. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said in agreement, amen. Amen. The previous verse that I had up on the screen, Job chapter 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? We got home yesterday, my daughter Lindsay trying to get me to watch a new channel on YouTube. And it's about people who clean out other people's cars for a living. Now, YouTube has a lot of content on it some people don't find too amusing. There's pimple popping and earwax cleaning and everything else. But she said, Dad, you ought to see the dirty water that they wring out of the backs of people's cars. And I'm going, I don't want to see what goes on in backs of people's cars. But it's that idea. People who don't clean their own cars want somebody else to clean it. And this proverb is true. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? If the sponge has been in that car, I don't want that sponge or that water. If you find French fries in that seat, I'm not hungry. And then we apply that verse to ourselves. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. In fact, when I see that phrase, not one, I'm reminded, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I think those two belong together. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Open your Bible, read along with me this morning. God tells them in Deuteronomy what they're going to be facing with, what they're going to be up against. He says to them, "Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Now, I started preaching this last Sunday. And he said, "The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people." And you look around in this building, we can certainly see ourselves in that light. In verse 8, "But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." But the core of this is at verse 6, where he says, "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord." Holy means, we talked about this, holy means set apart. Holy means sanctified by God. But even that word itself means clean and pure. And who can bring something clean out of something unclean is what I think of when I think of how God calls us clean, and yet I know my life, and I know where I've been, and I know the mistakes I've made, and I know the dirt that I've gotten involved in. And for God to ever bring anything clean out of this vessel is nothing but His grace. So Leviticus chapter 5, God then tells us about touching unclean things. Verse 1, "If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he have seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." And I want you to think of swearing, or the things that proceed out of your mouth. And I talked about this last Sunday. And I'm not going to keep going much on the part of the unclean part, but what to do about it when you are unclean. He said, if it's verse 2, "If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him when he knoweth it, of it, then he shall be guilty." I mean, they teach us to wash our hands when we go to the bathroom. Sometimes we don't think about it, but our bathrooms are not, you don't eat sandwiches in a bathroom. They even had something on the news the other day about how close your toothbrush is to the toilet matters. And you know what? They're right. We get clean, we get unclean, we don't think about it until God tells you, you did something unclean. You looked at something unclean. You touched something unclean. Or you said something unclean. Or you thought something unclean. Now that you know about it, now you're guilty. You're responsible for it. What do you do when you find out and God brings it to your mind that you're unclean? Now, Leviticus 15, and you're going to have to turn there unless you have hawk eyes. Leviticus 15. God gives a remedy. And I want you to listen to the Word of God this morning. I've known people all my life who have lived their life in such a manner as if God has a statute of limitations on sin. They've lived in such a way to where they've said, well, what I did, that was a long time ago. Why is somebody bringing that up now? Or why is God dealing with, why don't God just get over it? I got over it. You may have gotten over it, but God didn't. If an angel wrote down your transgression, and there are angels who write everything down, then it does not go away just because you think it's been a while, or you think it's been long enough, or that was, my goodness, what was I, 12? Was I 15? Just because you think time has expired and everybody should have gotten over it, that doesn't mean that it goes away. And so God says in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. Now I want you to think about it now. Tie these two ideas together. Was it not Jesus who told us, you're not defiled by what goes in your body? You are defiled by what proceeds out of your body. You are defiled by what it is your hands do. You are defiled, in this case, he talks about a running issue, and really, when you look at it, he's talking about diarrhea. Or anything that proceeds out of our areas of waste in our body. He said, now you're defiled. It came out of you. Now you're defiled. I was taught from a young age, what goes in will come out. I was taught that the things that your eyes look upon and what you set your eyes upon, those things will eventually proceed forth out of you. While you may not have considered it evil, it's there and it will come out, and almost without fail, it comes out in some form of evil thing that we say or that we do. It's coming out, and when it does, now we are defiled. Speak unto the children of Israel. Verse 3, he said, this shall be his uncleanness in his issue. Whether his flesh run with his issue or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is uncleanness. Now, don't you look at what he said. He said, I don't care if he's done with his issue. He's still unclean. And you can think all you want to, that because that was last week or last month or last year or whatever, that there shouldn't ever come back. Should we? If God said you're unclean, you're still unclean. Verse 4. Every bed whereon he lieth that hath the issue is unclean. And everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, shall be unclean until the even. Notice that there's a time involved here, and there's something that's done to make you go from unclean to clean. What was it? Wash. Wash. Verse 6, and he that sitteth on anything wherein he that sat hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. It's not that you just wait it out and then at the end of the day it'll all be over with. I want you to ask yourself, you know, you've heard me preach about how merciful God is. Yes, he's merciful. But he's also a father who has had enough sometimes of our nonsense. Or a mother. See, it wasn't my dad to make me go take a bath. It was my mother who understood that no amount of time does away with uncleanness. It's not time that does it. It's water. Verse 7, he that toucheth the flesh of him that hath the issue shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And I've seen some of you give back to the waitress spoons that did not meet your specifications. Why? It's unclean. And I shouldn't have to eat it with an unclean spoon in a restaurant. Now, you're right about that, are you not? Now, if the waitress goes and she's go back in the kitchen and comes back 5 minutes later and gives you the same spoon, just because she was gone with it 5 minutes does not make the spoon clean, does it? It must be. Some of you are catching on. Verse 8, and if he that hath the issue, well, I already read that. Verse 9, and what saddle soever he rideth upon that hath the issue shall be unclean, and whosoever toucheth anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. He that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be unclean until the even. And whomsoever he toucheth that hath the issue and hath not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. It's not time that makes it go away. It's being washed. Verse 12. The vessel of earth that he toucheth, which hath the issue, shall be broken. You look at this. God said, take the chamber pot that he used. Don't reuse it. Now, there's a serious lesson in this right here. Listen to me for a minute. An earthen vessel is what we are. And do you know what it takes every now and then to be right with God? It takes being broken. Jesus said, I am the stone, and he that falleth upon me and be broken shall be made whole again. But woe to him upon whom this stone falleth. See, to fall upon the grace of God and let God break you so that he can remake you is the wondrous work of God. But woe be to the one who refuses that work, and the wrath of God falls upon him, and he's crushed. So that's a good lesson in that, amen? That was from heaven. That didn't come from Mike Hoggard, I guarantee you that, because that's not in my notes. Verse 13. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Two things are required: time and being washed. And what does Mama say about what goes on in the house? If you made it dirty, you clean it up. Was Mama right? If you made the mess, don't wait for somebody else to have to come along behind you to clean. Your mama is not here anymore. And you know what my wife always told our children? Your maid doesn't live here. Or was that to me she said that too? She was right. If you defiled it, you clean it. If you broke it, you put it back together. If you did it, undo it. If you said it, unsay it. If you spilled it, mop it up. If you defiled it, you clean it up. And here's the problem. When it comes to serious issues, there isn't a one of us that has that ability. Verse 14, and on the eighth day you shall take him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them to the priest. What is God going to do with those 2 doves, those 2 pigeons? What is God going to do to those 2 doves? He's going to wring their neck and pour their blood out and kill them. But they didn't do anything wrong. That's exactly right. How much of a sacrifice has to be made for your mess to be cleaned? God's only begotten Son. And He didn't do anything. He didn't make your mess. He didn't create your problem. In fact, He gave us enough rules and guidelines to live by so that there wouldn't be a problem. But there is a problem. Deuteronomy 23. I read this last week. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp and shall not come within the camp. What does that tell you? Before you sit down at the table, you know, when I was in the slums of Kenya, they washed their hands before they ate in the slums. Before you can come back in, before you can be accepted in, by law, you were not allowed, if you had uncleanness, you were not allowed by law to come back into the camp without being washed. It didn't matter if you sat out there a year. So please, don't think for a minute that God and everybody else should get over you. Because that's not how it works. So he said, but it shall be when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water. When the sun has gone down, he shall come into the camp again. What does it take? Washed. Deuteronomy 23:14, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and then turn away from thee. You think God will do that to your family? Do you think God will do that to your family? Let me ask you this. Do you think God will take the transgressions of the father and mother and pass them down to the generations? God said in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed, but then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me. Watch this now, verse 22. Though thou wash thee with niter, that's soap, nitrogen, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Well, I forgave myself. That's enough. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Exodus 30. Notice the conditions before any man could enter into the holy sanctuary of God. In verse 17, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass. You know what that is? It's a wash sink. And his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. How many hands and feet do you have? I got two hands and 2 feet. 2, 3, 4. What is that telling us? It's the Gospels. It's Christ. Christ is that water. They shall wash with water that they, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. You think God was kidding? Do you think God was kidding? Do you think God was going to let Aaron bypass the laver and walk into his holy sanctuary with his hands and feet dirty? Do you think that? Then why do you think you can? So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. And it shall be a statute how long? Forever. So, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. If God said wash, wash. That's grace. God gave you a method by which you can be cleansed from your uncleanness. The problem is, you still are enjoying the dirt. I mean, I've been with my grandsons this weekend. Mo and Larry. And as soon as they get out of the car, Matthew's got like a little gravel driveway. And as soon as they both get out of the car, and they just look up, smile, dirt, sweat, dirt. Rivers of mud. You know, like on little boys running down. Just happy as can be. Can I say something to you? That's cute. Except for when you do it. Then it's not cute. And sometimes you are enjoying the dirt too much to be washed. John 13. Turn there. John 13. Verse 5. This is the supper, the last, what they call the Last Supper. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. Sound familiar? We just read that in the law. To wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And we know Peter at this time is not being pious and religious. He's trying to be, but he's not doing a good job of it. Because right after this, Peter goes and does what? He denies Jesus three times. And then what does he do the third time? Curses. So now his tongue's defiled. Isaiah chapter 6. Let me tell you what your problem is. You want to know what your problem is? Who wants to know what their problem is? I don't care if you ask. I'm going to say it. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. If you don't ask, I'm going to tell you anyway. Let me tell you what your problem is. You haven't been in the presence of God yet. And it's on purpose. It's on purpose. Because we know that to be in the presence of God, we need to be washed. And sometimes we just love our dirt too much. So, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now Isaiah is in the presence of God. And above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. You know what that word means? Pure, clean. Clean, clean, clean. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of what? What are you a man of? And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He wasn't alone, was he? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is what? Purged. Purged. We need to be purged, washed, and in the presence of God. How simple is that? See, that wasn't some big, high and mighty speech, was it? I was that simple. So, back to John 13. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What does that mean? Peter is going to hell. And so are you. Again, there's no statute of limitations. Let me read some verses to you. 1 Corinthians 6, see if any of this applies to you. Watch, look at this list and ask yourself, what have you done in the last week? What have you done in this life? Because it's going to be held against you. It will be held against you if you are not washed. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Am I reaching home with some of you? Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. That's sin of the mouth. Extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you have not been washed and purged, you are not one of God's. You do not belong to Him, and you do not belong in the house of God. So again, go through the list that I just read. There's others. There's other lists. Are you one of these people? Have you done one of these things? And if you have not asked God, if you have not been washed, if you have not been purged, it is still to be held against you. No amount of time of you outside the camp. I mean, my goodness, if it was just living outside a church, we got a whole town full of people living outside a church. Does that mean at the end of their life, God just lets them in? No, they've never been washed. They're not coming in. Never been washed. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So, get with me now. Judge yourself here. Judge yourself. Do you still love your dirt and shun God's word? If so, you're not clean. You're not clean. The purpose, and only Christ can do this. Jesus told that to Peter. Peter, if I wash thee not, then you can have no part of me. If I don't clean you, if I don't do it, then you have no part of me, Peter. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I am responsible for the conduct of the people who attend here. I'm responsible. What is that? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me where? Water. Folks, I'm responsible. You can get mad at me. And I have a list of people who are. But I'm responsible to make sure that the flock here is led to the water to be washed. If not, then accept my resignation, because I'm responsible to make sure that if you're God's people, you must be washed. And in order to be washed, you've got to quit loving the dirt. Titus, turn there. Titus chapter 3. I'm almost done, okay? I've only got 7 more scripture pages. See, that's almost, we round in the bend. Titus 3. Very quickly. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Say amen to that. Disobedient. Say amen to that. Deceived. Serving divers lust and pleasure. Say amen to that. Living in malice and envy. Say amen to that. Hateful. Hateful, hating one another. I'm responsible to say these things. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. See, I'm telling you, judge yourself. And if you'll do that, you will not have time to judge anybody else. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of... How did he save us? Washing and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Very quickly. We're heading down the home stretch. Coming right down to the wire now. Hebrews 10. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I was going to preach on covenants this morning, and God would not let me. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Now remember, before you can go into the most holy place, you can't walk around the lavatory, the laver, the washing basin. Cannot walk around it. You must stop and be washed. That's the way. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from what? An evil conscience. Sister Betty Forsyth, can I talk about you for a minute? You don't know what I'm going to say yet, though. Okay. She did not push that dear friend of hers down the steps. She didn't do anything wrong to her. And yet I could see the guilt. I could hear it on her. She called me. She's crying. She said, Pastor Mike, my friend just fell down the steps. I feel so bad for her. She didn't do anything. She didn't do anything, and she felt bad over it. And do we have anybody here who has done things and don't feel bad over it? I did something this week. My wife came in. She said, what's the matter with you? And I told her. She knew me. She knows how I am. I did something stupid. And it's somebody I'll probably never meet again this side of heaven. But it's my conscience. And it was little bitty, maybe. No, I didn't sleep with somebody. But I still feel bad. You're supposed to. You don't play in the dirt and then not want to be washed. So sprinkle from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God will forgive. God will wash. You got to stop loving the dirt. Revelation 7, 14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And great, you know what great tribulation does? It breaks us. It's how God uses, what God uses to break us. Now, 2 Peter 2, this is it, I'm done. Turn here and I'll let you go. After we've gone by the washing bowls here. Do we need to come visit the lavatory? the labors. Does anybody need wash today? Do I need to have a wash time after I'm done preaching? 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he's brought in bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You got to be washed, people. You must be washed. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Michael's going to zoom the camera in on me. No one looking around. Who is here among us that's tired of the dirt? Thank you. It was more than one. And I am one. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would step out and come to the wash bowls here at the front and be washed. Washed in the blood, washed. I tried to wash you today with the water of the word. Now wash in tears. Will you come?